This makes part three.
Yes.
On the conscience and conviction. The conscience and conviction.
Yes.
Nobody can come to the Lord and be saved unless God draws them.
You're right.
There is no way that you could go and answer your phone, pick it up anytime you want to, and talk to somebody if it's not a ring.
That's right.
And God's rung our number a lot of times. Have we answered him every time?
Come on, Brother Tom.
I'm glad, Brother Jason, over 48 and a half years ago, my phone rung. I'm not talking about a literal Panasonic phone, but my phone rang.
Yeah.
Down in my heart and in my conscience. Ring. 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 And I knew it was. You know, there's something about conviction. It draws you. You begin to see your need for a Savior. You need God. You need God. You see yourself. You see yourself lost. You're in a mess. And that conviction convicts you of your wrongs and your deeds and everything. And you become sorry. You say, Lord, I need you and I want you. I'll answer the phone, God.
Yeah.
This makes a third week I'm dealing with this. I don't know if I'll end it this week or not, but it's a burning in my heart. Acts 24:16, you don't have to turn there if you don't want. Paul told the people that were around him, he said, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God. And he didn't stop there. And toward men. I never want to offend and hurt my God or hinder other people.
Man.
I do not want to offend God or hurt others. I want to keep a good conscience. A conscience God gave you. I know this is elementary. I know it is. This teaching's elementary. I don't know any other way to teach it. But did you know that God, our Heavenly Father, has feelings?
Yeah. Amen.
How many of you ever had your feelings hurt?
Yeah.
It hurts when somebody hurts your feelings.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible to have your feelings hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, God, but he let down. You put confidence, you put stock in somebody, you try to help them, you try to be good to them and stuff, and they hurt you, they let you down.
Yeah.
What do you think your Heavenly Father feels like?
That's right.
Oh, God.
When we hurt him, when we offend him.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. God can be grieved. Grieved. Hebrews 3:17 and 3:10 says, but with whom was he? Was God grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err. Always err in their heart. They've not known my ways. God is a saying, all I want and desire out of you and from you is that you love me.
That's right. Amen.
And walk with me.
Thank you.
And serve me with all of your heart. God's just saying, I want you to trust me. I want you to put your faith in me.
Yes.
And if you don't give me your whole heart, I'll be found of you and I'll help you. You might falter, you might fail, you might make mistakes, but I look right down in your heart and I'm the one that keeps up forgiving you over and over and over. And all that I want to hear out of you is you to say, Lord, I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've messed up, I've faltered, I've failed. Lord, would you forgive me? How many knows today that if you'll say, God, my heart is broken over my deeds, and I ask you to forgive me. How many knows the royal blood of Jesus still cleanses, and God still forgives? Hallelujah.
Amen. You bless him, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Bless him, Jesus.
Do you know why that God instituted and gave man a set of laws and commandments? Do you know why he did?
Come on,
A set of laws of do's and don'ts and commandments, thou shalt and thou shalt not. Y'all ever really, really realize why did God do that?
Bless the Lord.
It was to show man his faults and failures. To reveal to man his sins, thereby convict him that he might repent.
Amen.
We're going somewhere.
Come on, brother. Bless him, Lord.
For where no law is, there's no knowledge of sin and no knowledge of transgression. The Bible said, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Thank you, Lord. When God says, thou shalt not, we better not do it. When the Lord says, you better do this, thou shalt do this, we better obey him.
Yes.
I'd rather obey God than obey man, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Flesh will let you down, but God will never, ever let you down. So why did he institute a set of laws of do's and don'ts? It's to show us our weak human frailties. We cannot live this life on our own. It takes a greater power. That's the reason the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That creature in the Greek means a new creation on the inside. God takes out the heart of stone and he puts a heart of flesh on the inside, a heart of love that's tender on the inside. Can you raise your left hand and say, that's what God did for me a long time ago?
Hallelujah.
Woo! He changed me. When nothing else would work, a mommy's prayers and a daddy's prayers got a hold of my heart. Hallelujah. And God stirred me and I saw my need.
Oh, my need.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
For where no law is, there's no knowledge of sin.
Knowledge.
There would be no sense of right and wrong.
Right.
Now, when you break God's laws, there are penalties that you must pay.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
right. Come on, bro. Come on. Who's ever hurt yourself before?
Mm-hmm.
Done something foolish and just not thinking. Set a ladder here like this right here, and it's all balanced about like this right here. I learned a long time ago. Climb up on that thing, right down on the ground. Man, that hurts. Bruises, sprains. You know what I do? You know, it pays in our spiritual life is to make sure of every move we make.
Yeah.
You know that? You know what I do? I go in there and get a claw hammer now. And if one side's higher than the other, I'll take a claw hammer and dig a big old hole right here. And I'll go over and get some 2 to 6s and I'll get that thing level.
Yeah.
You know, God wants us level.
Yeah, he does.
You get tilted to one side in life and you're not really, really totally settled, you can fall.
Right.
You know that? You're easy. Hey, come up here and push me over right now. You could real easy stand right over and just push me over.
Yeah.
That's right.
We need to stand straight. If there's ever a time we needed to be rooted and grounded, it's right now, rooted and grounded in you, Jesus. I don't want to fall.
Right.
Don't want to break your law, Lord.
Yeah.
Raise your hand, praise him. I don't want to mess up, God. Let's take time. Let's take pains, how we feel, how we do things in our spiritual life. Holy, 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 holy. Brother Jason, this has torn me all to pieces. Now, the law, God's word, is given to correct us. It's given to lead us. It's given to teach us the right from the wrong, what's acceptable and what ain't, what's good and what's bad. We should always be very sensitive to God's Spirit, because the Lord will correct you to get your attention, and sometimes it hurts. It hurts.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. We pay a price when God chastens and corrects us. Do you know why? Because he loves us and wants us in heaven with him when our life's over with. He don't want us lost over living and doing wrong.
Amen.
My Lord. For an example of how sensitive that we are in the natural. Y'all with me?
Amen. Come on, bro.
In the natural, look at our law enforcement today. How we jerk away and we hit the brake when we see a police car sitting on the side of the road radar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
God instituted the law and the commandments, and you'll never know them until you read them and get them down in your heart, the do's and the don'ts right here.
That's right.
And when you start to step out of the way, you have read, you've heard Brother Jason, you've heard the pastor, you've heard the preacher preach, that ain't right.
Come on now.
That ain't right. It sets off alarm bells in you. A siren goes off in you. A set of laws to get your attention. Come on. So, here we are.
You're right.
And the worst place I've ever had to drive is over there when I crossed the Chesapeake Bridge and hit the Walmart and back. I've never seen a road any more radar than that in my whole life.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They pulled me over one time doing 57 miles an hour, and that was years ago now. And I wasn't totally sanctified like I was now. I am now. He walked up to my window, and I wrote it down, and I was frustrated. I said, I'll tell you right now, buddy. I said, I was only doing 57 miles an hour. He said, I need your registration and your insurance, sir, and I need your license. He looked at me when he looked at the car. He said, Mr. Romans, he said, I'll have you to know the speed limit over here is 55 miles an hour. And you do not address a police officer this way. Did you hear me? Yeah. He wrote me a warning. 2 mile an hour over.
Wow.
He let me off. Man, I feel the Lord. I feel teaching. I just feel teaching. You know, the Lord will do everything He can to bend, to reach you, to just reach and touch you, to keep you out of trouble.
Yeah.
Keep you from messing up.
Keep you from messing up.
Come on. What if I was doing 67? I'd have paid about a $150 fine on that.
Yeah. A big fine.
But did you know every time I go over on a high right now, you know what I do? I look at my speed, I'm 55. Oh, hold it, bring it back here. Because I'll never forget, he was stern with me. He was stern. Mr. Romans, the speed limit over here is 55. I got you radar. How many's ever had God to correct you?
Yeah.
My gracious sakes. Did he put a fear in you? Listen now. Stay with me. How quick we are to jerk away one and hit the brake. Ain't it amazing how fast we hit the brake if we're speeding? Going over the posted speed limit. We know it. We've seen it hundreds of times. It's funny. But I've had people to pass me and almost put their nose, their car on its nose, hitting the brake. When they go over that knoll over there in South Point and they see a police car. You know why? And the natural conscience kicks in. Oh, my Lord, I don't want a ticket. Lord, I know I'm doing wrong. And I can see them cherries going around and around and those blue lights going around and around. It's going to cost me. Put my car on its nose and hit the brake. I've laughed so many times. I told Mary, I said, look, their conscience kicked in. But not until they were caught. I don't want to wait too late to get caught and then have... My Lord.
Come on, Brother Tom.
Raise your little hand. I feel Him. I feel teaching this today. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Lord, we got a conscience. Convict us before we go too far. Before we do too bad, God, please convict us, Lord. Don't let us go too far. We'll pay a penalty. It may be a penalty you don't want to pay. It'll cost you more than you could ever pay. Oh, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
God, oh God. I know this is elementary teaching to you all, but did you know what's happening? The conscience inside is kicking in because you know better. Fear kicks in because you know you're breaking the law.
Breaking the law.
And you don't want to pay a price. If we are that sensitive in the natural in front of man, what about the spiritual? In the eyes of God, I want to please the Lord and to have it to go well with me, don't you?
Yes.
Oh, Lord, let it go well with me, Jesus.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Our very main number one goal in this life should be to keep a good, clean, and clear conscience inside of our heart to please God. To know you're in right standing with Him. Now listen, don't ever do anything. Don't take chances. Don't take chances. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't breathe God's Spirit. Don't harden or defile your conscience that God put inside of you. Oh, Lord. Your conscience is like a glass. God gave me this. It's like a glass mirror that you look into. Your conscience is. God wants you to look inside of you and see you like He sees you.
Yes.
To see every weakness, every flaw, every weak tendency that we have to get out of His will. Yes. He wants us to see it. He wants us aware of our frailties. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Aware of Satan.
Yes.
Aware of the deceit of the devil and the tricks of sin. Listen now. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only.
Doers.
Deceivers, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass mirror, in a glass.
Yes.
I notice. For he beholdeth, and that word beholdeth in the Greek means, for he beholdeth as he's looking in the mirror. He takes a close examining look in that mirror and stares into it, beholding himself.
Yeah.
He beholdeth himself and then goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. God's holy word is that sacred mirror. I don't think there's a one of us that did not look in the mirror before we left the house and came to church today.
Come on, brother.
You're right.
How many got up, jumped in your clothes, bypassed the mirror, put your shoes on, got in the car and came today? I don't think any of you all did that. I don't think a one of you did. Listen to me. God's holy word is that sacred mirror.
Yes.
Do you know why? That natural mirror will show us if we have any blemish or any dirty spot. Who does not want to look their best and presentable when they're before and around others?
Right.
They're watching you. They're looking at you. How many wants to have a good image?
Right.
How many wants to look right?
Yeah.
And presentable.
Come on, Brother Tom.
We had a man up here at the plant, and his name was John. I ain't going to give you the license. Back years ago, he come through the gate, swipe at his punch-in card right there, and come through the gate, and he had his breakfast still on his mouth. Shoes untied, flopping around, shirt hanging out. Oh, have mercy. Oh, God. It's sad, ain't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder how people's taught, how they're teaching their kids.
Yes.
Teaching them respect, how to be decent and alive, and how to walk and present yourself.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm glad I was taught.
Amen.
I'm glad I was taught
right.
How to do right, how to look right, how to talk right. Come on now. Holy Lord, I'm teaching you. Oh, Lord, listen. We want to look our best, but the Lord looks much deeper. He looks at our very heart and our very soul.
Yes.
Your conscience is that mirror in the soul, and we can only view it accurately when we read and listen to the Word of God. Here is the mirror.
Amen.
Here's the mirror.
Right.
Show me, Jesus. How many still read your Bible every day? Brother Jason started this over a year ago. Every day, read your Bible.
Come on.
Oh, yes, Lord. Here's the sacred mirror. Come on now. I get in here, listen, and I read, and I hide it down in my heart, and observe it with my eyes, and behold it with my eyes, it keeps me when I'm out, when I'm going to the stores, when I go to places and I visit. There's something in here that is keeping me.
Yes.
Hallelujah to God.
Oh, yes.
Tells me how to walk and how to converse with others to do things right.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it can only show us if we look into it and read it. It shows us every spiritual and every moral law, every moral flaw.
Right.
We see ourselves in the light of God's divine presence. The only way that you can keep a clear, clean mirror of conscience is sincere daily prayer and reading your Bible.
Right.
If the mirror is not kept clean, not dusted, it becomes dull and you won't be able to see your way clearly.
Right.
Your vision will become fogged. You won't be able to see very far. Your way will become dark. The mirror of your conscience is like a window. When you keep it clean and clear, you will be able to see others the way that God sees them. Your conscience means everything in serving God. Your conscience is your safe guide. Raise your little hand and say, Lord, I want a clean conscience and a clear conscience, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't want anything to blind me and fog me up.
That's right.
Hallelujah, 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 Lord. Where do you stand in the eyes of the Lord that searches the hearts? Where do we all stand here today?
Where we stand.
God's a calling us. I'll tell you this. This man is doing his greatest in preaching to us about Saul. The life of Saul. Brother Jason, I don't want to become a Saul.
No.
Saul felt the power of God come down. The Spirit of God turned him into another man. He prophesied with the prophets.
Yeah.
Oh, dear Lord, he was accounted among the prophets. But something happened to Saul. He lost his fear and respect for God. Went about to do his own way, his own things, his own way. And he lost out. I'm telling you, if we override, keep overriding our conscience and not listen to the Lord and be sincere, sensitive in here, we keep overriding it, our heart will get hard. Hallelujah to God. He that being often reproved, hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I'm telling you, there's hope in God. If there's a spark in your heart, a sincerity, the Lord will help you. Praise Him, church. Praise Him. Woo! Hallelujah.
Yes, praise hallelujah. Jesus.
Where do you stand in the eyes of the Almighty God?
Yes.
Where?
Where do you stand?
Paul writes a letter to the saints at Rome. He said, I say the truth in Christ and I lie not. My conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. What are you telling us, Apostle Paul? Since the day that Jesus saved me, it's my whole desire to love and serve Him and win the lost. It's all about precious souls and getting them saved and keeping them out of hell. God knows that I'm telling you the truth, and the sweet Holy Ghost that's inside of me is a bearing witness that God is pleased with me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want the Lord to be pleased with me, don't you? How many knows you can feel it on the inside when you got God pleased with you? Oh, Lord, when God is showing you favor and blessing you, you know you're in His will.
Amen.
Holy Ghost is bearing witness. My conscience is to let me know, Paul, you're on the right track. Hey, Paul, you're on the right track, buddy. You had your problems. You've been whipped, flogged, and shipwrecked, lied on, persecuted, thrown in prison, flogged. But you're still on the right track.
Right track.
You're still a servant. You've had your ups, your downs. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state that I am in to be therewith content. What did he say? He did not say, I've always been content. He said, there's times in my life I've went through the thick and the thin of it. I've been through the deepest valleys. I've waded through deep waters. I've faced fiery trials. Oh, dear Lord. He said, but I have learned, I've learned. How many feels like you're still in school? I'm in God's school. Yes, I am. Praise me. We're just giving a wave offering in the house. We're in this school. We're in God's boot camp. And I'm learning. One of these days I'm going to graduate and I'm going to get my diploma when I step off on the other shore. Hallelujah. Ain't God good? There's coming a payday. There's coming a day that God said, I'm going to reward you because you've been faithful over the little things that I put in your life. I praise him, church. Hallelujah. Jesus said, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Hallelujah to God.
Oh, yes, Lord.
See, when you're in the will of God, pleasing to him, you'll know it.
Know it.
You'll know it. The Spirit of God will bear witness in your heart and your conscience. There will be no condemnation. There's no better, sweeter feeling inside than to know that God's favor is with you.
Yes, in the name of the Lord.
Now listen, this is very serious here. Very, very serious. There's an old Indian proverb. When somebody asked the old Indian chief, said, can you give us a definition of the conscience of man? And this wise old Indian chief said, I sure can. I can give you a proverb about the conscience of a man. Are y'all ready for this? The old Indian said, the conscience of a man is a square wheel. Listen. With four sharp corners. Sharp corners. The conscience that God put in the soul of every one of us.
Yes.
Now notice, when you do wrong, the Indian says, or start to do wrong, or start to head in the wrong direction, that wheel begins to turn inside of you and you feel the sharp corners jabbing you.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
It pricks the heart and makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
What was it David said? He said, it's good that I've been afflicted that I might learn thy statutes.
Yes.
Amen.
Sometimes we got to learn the hard way.
That's right.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When that wheel turns, it brings an inward pain in your spiritual heart. That is God's voice. That wheel is God's voice.
Yeah.
It's his way of getting your attention to wake you up. Oh, sinner, and oh, backslider, and oh, thou that art lukewarm, whom God is dealing with, oh, professing Christian, that square wheel will stay sharp on the corners. When you take heed and keep on listening to God's voice and obeying him, it'll stay sharp and sensitive.
Yes.
But when you keep ignoring, you keep right on going your way, you keep right on doing wrong, those sharp corners begin to wear down. It might take days, it might take weeks, months, or years of turning away God's voice. But the square wheel will wear down one of these days. The sharp corners will lose their sharpness and become dull and smooth until there's no more sharp prick and no more pain in your soul like there used to be. Oh, pity the soul that can no longer feel the prick of God's sharp wheel of conscience. God tried to get their attention, but they would not listen. And now they go on their own way in their sins and self-will, and it does not bother them. Oh God, my heart is a-breaking here today. Please do not ignore God's voice. Don't ever turn away conviction when the Spirit of the Lord is dealing and warning you and correcting and guiding you, even in the little things. For one day when life here is over, you will stand before God at the great tribunal to be judged. Millions of souls will stand before Him on that day with their wheels worn smooth, but the Lord will reawaken their conscience. He will roll back the years of their life to the time when they were sensitive and they heard God's voice and felt His convicting power drawing in and dealing with them. He will remind every one of us, I tried to get your attention on things in your life. I had a purpose and a plan for you. I dealt with your sins and I tried my best to curb you. I told you the things to lay aside and to quit doing. Hey Lord, I told you the things that you needed to get rid of, but you would not listen. You would not repent and turn that you might be saved.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Told you. I sent the message. I sent the word. I sent my conviction. I sent my spirit. My voice. My voice. You felt the prick of that wheel inside of you before. You know what it feels like. You know it's me. When you feel uneasy about something, it's me trying to get your attention.
Right.
Come on, I feel the Lord here. I feel the seriousness right here. This man, I'm telling you, him and I work hand in glove. I see how things fit right in. God's trying to get some people's attention.
Yes.
Right.
He's trying to warn us. Don't do things your own way.
Right.
Don't turn a deaf ear to God.
That's right.
Woo. Hold on. If He tells you something's best for you, you better take that. You better go that route.
Man.
Come on, I want His blessing. Raise your hand.
Amen.
I want God's blessing, Lord.
Amen.
I want it to be well with me. What was it God told His own people over there in Deuteronomy in the 30th chapter? He said, I set before you life and death. He said, I set before you good and evil. He said, I set before you a blessing and a curse. He said, choose life and choose the good, that it might be well with you and with your children. I want it to be well with me. If Jesus tarries and we live another 10 years, I still want to be serving God. I don't want to miss the Lord. Hey, Kalamahaya, I want to still be coming to this church. I'm praising God with victory. I give Him a praise in the house. I don't want to fail. I don't want to miss it. I want that wheel to stay sharp. Preach it, brother. I keep right on preaching it. Hallelujah. Stir our hearts, God. Stir our hearts.
Yes,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Man. Oh, God. Oh, God. Have mercy. Come on.
I don't want God to ever say, I tried to get you to give me your whole heart, but you went your own way.
You're right.
Oh, Jesus.
And done your own things. Oh, how fearful that day will be, Brother George. Oh, God, would you have mercy? Hebrews 3:15, while it is said today, that's now, right now in this church, while it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. The dearest thing that you have and you possess is your soul and your conscience. Keep it. Keep it and cherish it. It'll be your best friend. Don't ever do anything to injure or harden or wound your conscience.
Yeah.
Be careful how you treat it, for you will carry it with you into eternity. And it will be with you forever. And your conscience will never depart. Make it good and make it pure. Oh, to know and to have God deep inside you and to have His peace and favor means more than anything in this whole wide world. There will be a contentment in your soul when you know that you're in His will.
Yes.
I'm going to stop right here.
Oh, Jesus.
It's truly good to be here today in God's house. I don't know any better place to be other than heaven. And when the Lord calls, I want to go to
Him.
I started on this way, Brother Jason, a long time ago. A lot of sunsets. It's over the hillside. I've traveled a lot of miles. I've made a lot of steps. Total knee replacement on that left knee. I've had, about 8 surgeries in this whole body, different ones. I've had broken bones, sprains, tears. But I tell you what, serving God is better than anything in this whole wide world. We have our problems, we have our cries. I'm so glad that we've got somebody with us that loves us. He's a keeper, He's a healer, He keeps us the goals. Listen to the words of this. The words of this song tonight, they were singing that song the night I came to the altar, gave my heart to God. The lighthouse on a hillside. Drugs and alcohol, rock music, sins and the pleasures of the world was drowning me. But I looked, my ship was going down, and I looked out over the shore, and I saw a bright light shining from the lighthouse. And it was Jesus. How many can say it's Jesus? The lighthouse is still Jesus. He still shines bright. Praise God, the Lord.